open up the Word of God this morning to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 25. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 25. And we're going to have a good time in God's Word, seeing what He has for us this day. And I'm always excited to see what God has for us. It's amazing, even though you prepare for these lessons, things change along the way. And there's times, as you're speaking during the service, God just gives you something instantaneously, and you got to change those as well. So looking forward to what God has for us today. Before I begin to go anywhere this morning, as I normally do, let's go ahead and bow ourselves in a little prayer. And as I pray outwardly, I ask that you pray inwardly, that God would just speak to your heart. Don't worry about your neighbor. Husband, don't worry about your wife. Wife, don't worry about your husband. Worry about yourself and just ask God to speak to you, because that's what it's all about. We want God to speak to us. And I pray that you give Him that permission this morning, because He's waiting for us to give Him permission. And so as I pray outwardly, I pray that you would do that inwardly. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that I have once again to be able to give your word to your people. Lord, I pray this morning, as I always do, I pray that you bestow your knowledge upon me and your wisdom. Lord, I pray that you be glorified through the teaching of your word. Lord, I pray this morning that I would not say anything that's contrary to your word, and I would not say anything to bring embarrassment to you. Lord, I pray again that you would just watch over us as we're meeting together, wanting to learn about your word. Lord, I do know this, that the devil this morning is not happy with us meeting. And Lord, he's trying to do everything that he can to distract us, to get our attention away from your word. Lord, I know throughout the lesson this morning, he's going to do things to my mind and to my speech to cause me to mess up. So Lord, I pray that you would just put him at bay for us. Lord, that he would not have access to this place at all. Lord, we pray that everything is said and done in your glory, and we ask it in your name. Amen. So let's go ahead and begin reading here. We got a long chapter ahead of us today, and I hope that you are prepared to see what God has for us. It has been a lengthy time for us going through the book of Jeremiah, and as we met a few weeks ago before I diverted off into my last lesson just to get caught up with Jeremiah, we talked about the good fig and we talked about the bad fig. And I left you with a question. Which one are you? Are you the bad fig or are you the good fig? And I hope that you've contemplated that in your mind. I hope you've asked that question to yourself. And so as we carry on from there, we're going to move over to chapter number 25. And we're going to see some more prophecy that's going to be fulfilled here in the book of Jeremiah. Matter of fact, we're going to go into the book of 2 Chronicles. We're going to go into the book of Daniel this morning. We have a lengthy portion to read in the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and 16, just to show you the things that are coming to play here. And I hope that you find everything is good for you this morning. So let's begin. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses, and then I will go over first part of this. And if you want to know the title of the lesson this morning for your notes, I simply just put it, because if you read this portion of Scripture, you're going to see God's wrath. You're going to see His anger begin to boil up. And I hope you see this throughout the process. And so I was going to go two ways with this. I stayed away from the first one, because the first one you would have thought, man, this guy watches too much television. I was going to call it Fist of Fury, but I decided not to go that route. I went with this instead: how to stay clear of God's anger. Because we can stay clear of God's anger. Again, it all comes down to our choices that we make in life. It all boils down to our choices and how we live our life. Do we live it according to God's word? Do we live it according to God's will? Or do we live our life according to our will, or according to the will of the world? And so it comes down to our choices. And no different than, I've used this illustration many times with this, going through this. Our kids, we raise them up, but at the end of the day, they're going to make their own choices. And those choices can cause some scars in life. I was talking to someone yesterday about the scars that we have in our life because of the choices that we make. And kids look at us and say to us, "You just don't know what I'm going through." No, we do know what you're going through, and we're trying to save you from those things. And I was a foolish kid one time, and I said those things about my parents. My mom and dad, they just don't know what I'm going through. The fact of the matter is, they've already went through it, and they're trying to help me not to have the scars that they bear to this day. And boy, I tell you what, I just pray that our young people can grab a hold of that in their life. It'll save them so much heartache later on down the road. So my 4 points that I'm going to get to this morning is, the first one is listen. I believe the first 10 verses are going to show us and how we are to listen. The second point I'm going to get to, we'll see this in through verse 11, actually through the end of the chapter as well, but we're going to deal with this, and it's called the doom. And then we're going to, actually, I'm sorry, I only have 3 points this morning. The last one we're going to deal with, the cup of fury. Let's read these first 10 verses. It said, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying." Now let me stop real quick just to remind you, go back to chapter 1, verse number 9. God is giving Jeremiah these words to these people. They're not Jeremiah's words, they're God's word. And we need to understand these things. This is God's judgment that's going to come upon these people, not Jeremiah's judgment. And so we need to understand these things. And so God ordained him back in chapter 1, verse number 9. Verse 3, it says, "From the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, Turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not hearkened my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle." So what we have here, again, is just another reinstatement for us, or it's being reinforced to us once again, why this judgment is going to be coming upon these folks at this point in time, is because of the fact that they didn't listen. Well, what did they listen to? Well, you can go back to the book of Exodus, and we see all the commandments that we have. And one of the commandments that it says is, "Thou shalt not have," finish that with me, "no other gods before me." And so with that being said, these people had another god before them. We did a study on some gods that they did. There's a lot of fertility gods that they took part in. But one of the things that one of the gods that they had was, anybody remember? Be Baal, exactly. That is the god that they sought. That was a false god. It was a false image, and that's what they went after. And so they did not listen to God. Here's the interesting thing. I can find myself sitting underneath preaching for 43 years now of my life, and I'm not listening to every word that has come out of the preacher's mouth or the missionary's mouth or the evangelist's mouth. Why? Because I am, by nature, a rebellious person. And because I am a rebellious person, when somebody tells me not to put my hand in the cookie jar, what are we going to do? We're going to test the waters, are we not? We're going to test our parents and say, okay, how serious are you with this matter? So they tell Johnny or Sally not to put their hand in the cookie jar, and because of our rebellious nature, we put our hand in the cookie jar. And because of that, mom or dad sees that, what do? Well, they take action on those things. I have to clarify something this morning because a lot of you folks have heard stories about me and my siblings growing up. I got to clarify this. My mom and dad did not beat me. They disciplined me. And I needed to be disciplined. And sometimes it took effect on my rear end. And I needed those things. Sometimes, before that gymnasium was built around there as a kid, that yard back there seemed huge to me. And mom decided at an earlier age, because we're getting bigger, I'll teach these boys. She wanted to get us in shape. She thought her house was the army. And so she'd make us go around and do laps around the yard. You guys not feeling sorry for me this morning? Mom's back there kind of giggling. I like it when mom laughs in church. But we did those things because of our rebellious nature. So I've come to realize very quickly in life, and not only because of my mistakes, and I say this not jokingly, but I say this because I've learned from my siblings. And I've seen them have more of a disciplinary action in their life than I did. Maybe I just got away with more. Maybe mom and dad were worn out by the time they got to me. I know they were really worn out when they got to Matt. Matt was able to do everything. The baby, he can do anything. It's all good. But anyway, I learned in life who we need to listen to. Who was my voice of authority? And my voice of authority was my father and my mother. So now at this point in time, God has told these people that they are to listen to him. They have not listened to him. How do we know that? Because they put other gods before him. They have served another god. They have, at this point in time in their life, they have forsaken God. When you use the word forsake, that word forsake means you've left him. You left him behind. God's still there in that same position, but you're going forward without him. And so I must say this as a caution. When we go forward in life, we must be with God. Don't get ahead of God. And that is a voice that you and I need to listen to. So who do we listen to? The obvious answer is God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. Those are who we need to listen to. Why? Because they are over us. He is our God. He is our King. He is our authority because we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. These folks were God's chosen people, and they have rejected God. So God sent, as we read here in verses 4 through verse 5, we see here that God had sent them many men along the way, gave them message after message to warn them of the future judgment that's going to come to them. And we must realize this morning, even though we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, there's still going to be judgment that's going to come to this country. And why is that judgment going to come to this country? I can think of several things. The abortion of babies. Millions of babies have been killed throughout our lifetime. And that is not good in God's eyes. We have seen many things take place in this country that's taken us further away from God. And I believe we as believers have allowed our voices to be silent and not say anything about those things. You go to 2nd Ave on 15th Street, you have people out there, the abortion clinics that's there. You have people that come by and they hold up signs of abortion's wrong, God saves, Jesus saves. Man, every time I drive by them, I honk and I give them thumbs up. All right, thank you for your voice. But God sent many men along the way for them for their protection, for their own good. Mom and dad says, don't put your hand in that cookie jar because if you do, there's going to come harm your way. And so I'm telling you this for your protection, for your good. And so what has taken place at this point in time? The same thing that takes place in churches across our country to this day. I can talk to you right now as I am. Many of you folks are in here. But sometimes, let's be honest with ourselves. We don't want to listen. It falls upon deaf ears. I believe whenever God's word is spoken, man, we ought to give the utmost attention to God's word. Because God has laid something on that preacher's heart, that missionary's heart, or that evangelist's heart for your good, for your benefit. And some people say, man, I've heard this before, and I got to hear it again. I have learned going through school, repetition is good. Repetition is good, especially with me. When it came to math, I needed repetition. It took me years to figure out 2 plus 2 is 4 and not 3 or 5. It is 4. Now, in our world, I would be considered a good student if I got close to the answer, which is very sad. So it's for our benefit, and we should not allow God's message to fall upon deaf ears. I can tell you every time, and I know Pastor can say this, and I know Pastor Logan can say this, whenever you get done, the thought that goes through my mind, man, I hope they got it. I hope I was able to portray it to where they got it as well. That always runs through my mind. And I'm not saying I hope so-and-so listened to it. I just want people to listen to God's word. So when God's word's spoken this morning, listen to it, hear it, pay attention, apply it to your life. Don't let it to fall upon your deaf ear as it did with these folks here, because there's going to be consequences. When you ignore God's message, there's going to be consequences. When you ignore, for example, when you ignore a salvation message, when God's prodding your heart, the preacher has poured out his heart that you are lost and you're going to hell, and the only way to get to heaven is accept him, admit that you're a sinner. You ignore that message, what consequence is there? It's hell. There is a consequence. And so it's important to listen. Don't let it fall upon deaf ears. And some people say, well, I've done this. Has anybody else done this? And as a kid, I can sit there and remember, man, I'm just going to wait until I'm on my deathbed. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have so much fun regardless of what mom and dad says. I'm going to cause havoc. I'm going to go down this road. And when I'm dying, that's when I'll cry out to God. Can I say that? If that is you this morning, you might not get that opportunity. Because once God has spoken to your heart and you've rejected, there's going to come a time in your life where God's going to say, all right, Chad Springer, I'm closing the door. I gave you the opportunity, so here's your consequence, and it's hell. I'm thankful this morning God didn't give up on me, and I listened to his voice and called upon him as my Savior. God, in this chapter, in these chapters here, we have seen, and even in our life, God had created a way of escape for them. And when God creates a way of escape for you, don't ignore it. Listen to it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Look at that light, if I can say that. I just did. But look for that way of escape. When it comes to temptation in life, temptation is not a sin. But is giving in to that temptation is when it becomes a sin. God has given us a way of escape before that ever comes in our life. When that temptation comes upon us, what can we do? We can say, God, you know my weakness. You know what the devil is tempting with me right this point in time in my life. Remove him from me. That is one prayer that I got to pray every single morning of my life. I start out that way. I get to work. I pray it in. I do silent prayer. Anybody do silent prayers? Baptist people, that's all they do is silent prayers. Amen. I do a lot of silent prayers throughout the day. God, you know me. Help me. You've given me a way of escape. And I've noticed when I've succumbed to those temptations is when I've ignored his way out. So God has given that way of escape, and that's him. And so, again, he's created that for us. He created that for them. And we see here, through even chapter 25, the olive branch that God has extended to these folks time and time again. And what are they doing? They're still ignoring. They're still going out and rejecting his word. I also realize, as I said a little while ago, this is a path they chose for themselves. Again, we make our own choices. The devil didn't make us do it. We make our own choices. And this is what happened with them. They chose to walk away. And so this is true today. Preachers preach. Missionaries preach. They give the word of God. They spend countless hours of time of studying for a half hour or 40-minute message, and it falls upon deaf ears. And so it takes place today. Don't ignore God's message. The reason why they ignored God's message is the same way we ignored mom and dad when they say, don't put your hand in the cookie jar. We ignore it because we think, first of all, we'll never get caught. I learned when I was growing up, mom had eyes in the back of her head. I told you that a few weeks ago. I thought she was weird. I've never seen an alien before in my life. But mom had eyes in the back of her head. That kind of creeped me out a little bit. But we always think, oh, we're never going to get caught. God knows, folks. He knows our deepest thoughts. He knows everything about us. You can't fool him. And there's no better way than doing it than God's way. We automatically think, well, I have a better plan. I have a better outlook. I can do it better. You read in verse number 10, we'll do this here. It says, moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the kings of Babylon 70 years. So we see here, moving along here rather quickly, verse 10, their time of enjoyment had come to an end. No different than myself, my wife and my daughter. We spent a week in Alabama, and we had a certain time there. Well, that time came to an end at 6 o'clock yesterday morning. We left that time. That was a time of rest. That was a time of enjoyment. That was a time of peace. That time came to an end. And God is telling here in this word, in the word here, that their enjoyment that they had come to know in their life is going to come to an end. And I will say this to us as well. The things that we put above God, the things that we enjoy more than God, the things that we idolize more than God, will come to an end someday. That's why I believe that we need to be seeking God every single day of our life, because that's eternal. See, we seek earthly wisdom, we seek earthly gains. Those things are going to come to an end. We see here in this chapter here, we're going to get to it, God's wrath of fury is coming to an end. Just picture it as a cup. The cup is getting fuller and fuller every single day. And once that cup gets to a certain point, it's going to overflow. And once it overflows, his wrath will be revealed. So their time of enjoyment had come to an end. And one of the things that I notice here, too, in verse number 10, actually verse number 9, I'm not going to read it, but a land that once flowed with milk and honey had become a desolation. And to this day, folks, they still struggle with having the water that they need to have. They still struggle. And so that is what's taking place. Now, we're going to move right along to my second point this morning, and we're going to talk about the doom that's taking place, and that's going to be really down from verse number 11 down to the end of the chapter. So let me read here verse number 12, and says, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to their works of their own hands. And so now here we see in Jeremiah 25, the first time that the 70 years is going to be mentioned. And I'm just going to give you a brief explanation. I would love to, matter of fact, let's go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. Second Chronicles 36, and we read here in verse 21, because we just heard about Jeremiah and what he prophesied, and now back in Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, it says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. To give you a brief summary because of time constraints that I have, because I realize I tend to go off on other things from time to time, And all God's people said, no, you don't. Amen, Brother Chad. Keep on preaching it. But just to give you a brief explanation here, the Sabbath here was a law that they had to keep. That was their law. We notice that as they were rejecting God, forsaking God, they served Baal. And so what do? The Sabbath was no longer important to them. Matter of fact, I think we read about it in chapter 21, maybe 23, where the Sabbath became a burden to them. The Sabbath shouldn't have been a burden to them. The Sabbath should have been delightful for them, no different than you and I. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights should be delightful for us. It shouldn't be a burden. Oh, man, I got to go to church. If I don't go to church, pastor's going to call me, and I don't want to. I got caller ID. I know he's calling me, and if I ignore him, he's going to think, oh, yep, he's ignoring me. Then he's going to think I'm a bad sinner. And then once he says, thanks, Dad, he's going to come to my house, and I'm going to be out the door looking through the curtains, and he knows I'm going to be home, but I'm not going to answer the door. And church shouldn't be a burden to us. Church should be delightful. I was gone for a week, and I normally don't see a lot of you folks throughout the week, but I missed you folks. And so it was good to come back to hear your voices, see your faces, and to embrace each other with a hug. And I love Doc. You know, the Bible says greet each other with a holy kiss. I believe our hug is our holy kiss. Amen? Doc doesn't want me to kiss him on the cheek. He just wants me to put my arm around him. But it's delightful to be in God's house. Well, it wasn't delightful for them no more. It was a burden to them. So much the fact that it was a burden to them that they ignored 490 years of the Sabbath. And during that time, God also told them that the land was to rest every 7 years. Think about that. Dan, you're a farmer. You rely on your grounds every year for income. It feeds your family. It puts a roof over your head. Just imagine every 7 years you had to not touch your crop. And the reason why they didn't touch their crop, the crop needed to rest. And it became desolate. Well, they even ignored that part of it. They were ignoring the laws that was given to them. And so through this, 70 Sabbaths have been rejected. 70 Sabbaths have been rejected. And so now we see here that the 70 years have been mentioned. And the king of Babylon will also be punished. We see through here that the land will be destroyed. You go back to chapter number 9. Did you see where it says Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant? Do you guys see that? I saw that. We're going to look at that. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is merely an instrument being used by God at this point in time. And so God's using him at this point in time to bring out what he needs to bring out for these people. So we see here that the land will be destroyed. Land can be destroyed through several different things. Right now, our crops, I don't know if Dan, if you're suffering with this, but the Japanese beetles are having their heyday on our crops, on our trees. And so we're seeing a land that's going to become desolate. We're going to see here that kings will no longer be served, but they will be serving each other. And because of this, all this happens because of the filth and the sin that had come upon the land. They have allowed it to happen. And because of this, there's going to be a great purging. God's going to have to purge the land. And that's just how it happens to be. Go back to the T-shirt. Some of us are men, we wear white T-shirts. And I was wearing a T-shirt yesterday, and I got on the road. We pulled through a godly restaurant, Chick-fil-A, and spent about 15 minutes there. Man, we're in and out on the road. And I did something stupid because I was eating in the car. Doc, I got held up in traffic for 2 hours. I hate road construction. But anyway, I ordered a chicken sandwich with tomato. I never get tomato because tomato leaves a mess, especially when you're eating in the car. And I told my wife, I said, I shouldn't have done this. I'm going to make a mess. And as soon as I pulled it out, took my bite, as I'm driving, boop, right on my T-shirt. It's a mess. And it wasn't just on my T-shirt. It was on my clothes as well. And so you know what I have to do to make it presentable? In order to wear it next time so I won't be made fun of? Well, I'll be made fun of no matter what I do. I have to purge it. I have to go through the wash machine. So God here is going to purge this land. And what we're going to see here is God's wrath and his anger will be on display. There will be no escape. If you have ignored God, there is no way out. You have had your warning. That's why it's always best to listen to God the first time he speaks. Chad, I want to do this. Yes, God, I will do it. Because if I don't, I'm rejecting God. I'm being rebellious. I'm being disobedient. And I'm not in line and I'm not in favor with God because I am sinning against him. And so we need to pay attention and we need to listen to God because he gives us the warnings. Don't ignore his warnings. No different than when we go to the doctor. The doctor, he examines us. He checks our heartbeat. He checks our blood pressure. I had an MRI done on my head last Tuesday because of the thing that came down on my head. And it wasn't the hammer that my wife threw at me. It was a different object. But I had an MRI on my head and found out, folks, I do have a brain. Just to let you guys know that, I do have a brain. But my blood pressure at that point in time, because I get nervous when I go to these things, was 162 over 100. And I told a lady, said, don't get mad, it's going to be high. And she looks at me, she about gasps. But in order to bring my blood pressure down, what do I need to do? First of all, I got to stop worrying. I got to stop worrying. Women are to be silent in the church. I read that yesterday, and the day before, and the day before that. Amen. But they give us things that we're to do so that we can help our lives to be more beneficial, so we can live longer. And if we ignore those things, what's going to happen? Well, we'll face death. And so there's going to have to be some changes in my life because I know I need to change those things. So God gives us warning after warning after warning. Heed to his warning. Don't ignore it. Now we're going to look at the cup of fury here, even though it's spelled wrong. I will say it that way. But let's go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 15. Book of Revelation, chapter number 15. We will see what God has to say about that. As you're going there, I'm going to read this verse here in verse number 15 of Jeremiah. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them." And we can keep reading there. Then he goes on and begins to list the nations that will be involved in this. And so let's begin to look at the fury here of God that's being talked about here in Revelation chapter number 15. I don't know if I can read the whole thing due to time, but I'm going to try to do my best. Verse number 1 of chapter number 15, it's a very short chapter, and it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou art only holy? Holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." And I'm going to stop there and go down to chapter number 16. And as we read these two chapters here, we're going to see that these wrath that are being talked about, these bowls of wrath in chapter 15 and chapter number 16, are in reference to the final judgments of the two Babylons and the rest that were included back in chapter number 25. And you can read those if you want to see those nations. So verse number 1. We need to pay attention to these things. It says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Here's the first one. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon him which worship his image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and I was given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out a vial upon the sun, and power is given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. They gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. For sake of time, I'm going to stop reading there, but I will encourage you to finish out the rest of this chapter because of the cup of fury that is coming their way. We have seen this, and so we see that the nations, they're not going to escape this at this point in time. You go back to chapter 25 of Jeremiah, in the later part of the chapter, it says, none will go unpunished. All will be punished. None will be left out. There will be no favoritism there. You can line all six of us kids up when we were younger, and if we all done something wrong, mom and dad's going to say, okay, all six of you, you're going to receive discipline for this. They're not going to say, okay, since you're the oldest, we're going to give you an olive branch. You're not going to receive punishment. No. What's happening here is they're going to get it. None will go unpunished. You won't escape God's wrath. They will taste, again, back in chapter number 25, we read some of this, but they will taste the death of the sword. And I'm going to conclude my lesson this morning with this saying. God will not be mocked. Because that is what they are doing right now at this point in time in their life, because they're walking away from God. Now I'm going to say this to you, us in a New Testament church. God will not be mocked. Don't ignore his plan. Don't ignore his voice. You ignore it, you're going to be in the same shoes as these folks. None will go unpunished. God will not be mocked. And I've seen in Scripture, you can see it throughout the whole entire Old Testament. Yeah, I understand God is love, but God is also a God of action because he cannot stand sin. And because he cannot stand sin, he's got to take judgment. His vengeance is real and unavoidable if you reject him. Now, I don't know where we're at right now at this point in time. Some people say we're in the 69th week of Daniel. I just know this. I gave you an illustration earlier. There's a cup. It's being filled. And once it gets to that tipping point, God's wrath is going to overflow and overtake. You cannot, if you accept him, you don't have to go through that. But if you reject him, man, I feel sorry. And I'm not laughing to be funny. I'm sorry that folks choose to go through that way. Because, Logan, we make our own choices. Just like they're making their own choices as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this time through your word. Lord, I hope that what was said here this morning has not fallen upon deaf ears. Lord, I pray this morning that truth has been revealed to your folks. Lord, I just thank you again for allowing me to be a voice for you. Lord, we ask that you'd be with us in the next hour to come. We pray that through the singing and through the teaching of your word, that you'd be glorified, be with our pastor. Lord, that you'd bestow your wisdom and knowledge upon him in the next hour to come. And we ask it in your name. Amen.